That still sounds so good to me.
Every time.
Every time we do it, it sounds good to me.
I love hearing our intro.
Who wouldn't love hearing our intro? It's awesome.
Even though, and like us personally, we've probably heard it how many thousands of times compared to everyone else?
I know, but it still sounds like the first time. It's like a it's like a first kiss every time.
Oh, how cute.
You get that warm and fuzzy first kiss feeling every time.
Heart starts fluttering.
Yes. That's the way to describe it. It makes your heart flutter.
Aw.
What's up, guys? Lawn Disorder coming at you on episode 110.
110. Hey, guys.
Yeah. So before we get too far into this, let's thank the sponsors. Let's thank Wavespace Audio for the awesome, awesome first-time kiss music. And Young Ideas Dish for all of your Dish and Google product needs.
Thanks, guys.
And we're here. And we're going to talk some, what are we talking?
Genital logic.
Genital logic, where we take the male and the female perspective of something. And we kind of compare and contrast, right? Different opinions?
Yep. We take a topic. I give a female take. You give the male take. Because it'd be weird if we tried to do it the opposite way. And we kind of see what the differences are and the nuances. Oh. And it turns out to be pretty funny.
We even got a little intro for Genital Logic.
Let's take a quick listen.
All right, great. Let's get started.
If it's boys versus girls, we'll win every time. You know we're much cooler and we've got better rhymes. We like to play sports. We know
it's like a little kid rap battle. I love it.
I love it.
They're just rap battling.
Aww.
Shout out to the little kids that I stole this from. I want
to
get it.
They signed away their rights to this, so probably when they recorded it with whatever recording agency.
It's true. So, sorry, kids, I stole it, but they stole it from you.
No. I love it. Let's keep it.
Let's keep it. Let's do it.
Let's adopt it.
We stole it.
Kidnapped it.
So, all right, we're talking car etiquette, car care etiquette.
Yes, yes, yes. We are going to talk about car etiquette, anything and everything that has to do with cars, whether it's how you drive, how you take care of your car, how you treat it, what you do in it, all that jazz.
What you don't do in it.
Exactly.
All right.
Everything far and in between.
Let's get into it.
Okay. So I wanted to talk about this, I brought this subject up. I wanted to talk about it because I want to start off with what I've seen between me and my husband, and it happens all the time. And I feel like I don't know if he gets annoyed by it. I think he's just used to it by now, but I'm going to explain it. And then I want you, Sergio, to tell me if you are the same way.
Okay.
So if me and my husband, we're out and about in the car, we're running errands, we're going places, whatever. We get home, or maybe we get to our destination, we park. We park, he turns off the car, assuming he's driving, or I could be driving, it doesn't really matter. Whoever's driving turns off the car, and no matter what, he immediately just opens the door and gets out and closes the door behind him, right? In like 2 seconds, out, door closed. I, on the other hand, no matter what, if I'm driving or if I'm in the passenger seat, I don't get out of the car right away because I'm grabbing my purse, I'm grabbing my thermos full of water, I'm grabbing the trash I might have left behind, I'm picking up the pile of mail that I left in there, you know, I'm grabbing my protein bar and the hat that's in the back seat. Like, I'm picking things up. Like, I don't leave stuff in the car. So it takes like 30 seconds for me to get all my stuff. And meanwhile, my husband is just like standing outside the car staring at me for me to then open the door, kind of shove my way out because my arms are full of crap, to close the door, and then I'm ready to go.
I know, but in his defense, you know, he saved himself 30 seconds by not having to grab all of his crap. It's still going to be there. Like, it's not going anywhere. Nobody's going to steal it.
pull one, you don't know that. Unless it's like legit trash, then I think we have a bigger problem. But I was taught to never leave anything in your car because people will break into your car for nothing.
I mean, you know, I have a lot of stuff in my car. You know, some people live in their car. I don't quite live in it, but I have a lot of stuff. Just a lot of stuff. And I don't always take everything out. Sometimes I'm like, eh, I'll get it in a little bit. Or I'll get it next time. I don't get all of it. You know, because some...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I guess I'm the opposite then, as a female. Because I do not like leaving stuff in my car. Will I leave some change in, like, the glove compartment? Sure. Will I leave my chapstick? Maybe. But if it's not a car-related item, like, I'll keep my insurance in there, obviously. I'll keep some napkins. Keep my car emergency kit. But if it's not a car-related item, it does not stay in the car. It leaves the car.
No, so, like, in regards to crap, let's say crap. You know, just stuff. Like a cup, plastic cup, bottle, whatever. Sometimes I don't get it out because I don't want to jack with getting it out and then having to throw it away. I wait until I get home and I'm like, oh, I'll get it when I get home because I'll park right next to the trash can. I'll open up the door and I'll dump it. You know, but I also am limited with the amount of crap that I will keep in my car. Like especially in regards to like little pieces of trash. I can't keep that much. I'll keep a little bit in there. I'll keep like a day's worth of stuff. I can't keep like a week's worth of stuff. That makes sense.
Well, that's good. I mean, at least you're thinking at the end of the day, you'll get it.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I'll get it. Cause you know, and it seems like every day there's something in my car. I always end up with wrappers or receipts or God knows what, you know, every day there's something in there. And I like to throw it out, but yeah, I try not to do it like, you know, obsessively like some people I know. I do it, you know, like once a day, maybe once every other day. But not every time I get out of the car.
I'll have to argue in this episode that like having crap in your car is more of a personality thing rather than like whether you're boy or girl, male, female, whatever. I think that's more of a personality trait because I've been in cars that were completely trashed and disgusting and they belong to women and they belong to men. And it goes both ways, I think.
So, okay. So what about the exterior of the car? Like, how are you with keeping it clean? Or, like, is your version of clean, like, super clean? And, you know, you can't have it any other way?
Mine's super clean. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But I'm also really, really picky. So, right now I sound like a hypocrite because if you looked at my car right now, it looks kind of dirty on the outside, but that's because it rained here where we live recently and it's still winter. So it's still pretty cold out. So I don't really wash it as much in the winter because the weather doesn't let me. I'll run it through a car wash now and then, but in the spring and summer, I'm washing my car at least once a month and detailing it.
Ooh.
And I wax it. I don't trust other people to do it. Like I don't take it places to let other people clean it. I clean it. I do that. I buy the supplies. I put them in a container. I keep the container in the garage. I put it in my car when I need it. So I'll go like sometimes I'll go to like the drive-in car wash where you can wash it yourself. And I take my supplies and I do it. I even have like a step stool in there so I can step up and like hit the roof of the car.
What?
But I do it. Yeah. Yeah.
Your step stool?
Yeah, I got a little step stool. It just folds up and down and I step on it so I can get the top of the car done. But man, yeah, it'll take me about 2 hours to wash it, vacuum it, and detail it. Sometimes a little longer when I wax it then.
So if I have to do... I do two different things. If I go to the car wash, just regular old car wash, I have a place I go to specifically here in town that's like one of those pull-up ones and not the conveyor belt where you're like in there with a bunch of cars. You just go into the bay and like the little washer washes around the car and it's got the little light brushes or the whatever, the little foam thingies. I do that probably like once a week. And usually any time of year, maybe every other week in the wintertime, but I like to do that to keep it like, just give it a basic wash, keep it clean. It's also like a therapy for me. I enjoy being in there, and like for those 7 or 8 minutes of my life, I'm left alone. I don't get like a satellite radio signal in there. It's normally what I listen to, satellite radio. I don't get a signal in there. I kind of just turn everything off, and it's like, leave me alone for the next 8 minutes of my life. And it's my little therapy. I like hearing the whoosh. I like watching the little wax colored stuff trickle down, and it's just my little, it's a little therapy session for me. So I go specifically to this car wash because it does really good work. But again, it's just, you're just kind of in there chilling. Now, every now and then I'll go to the car wash and like I'll hand wash it myself, and it really just depends on my mood. But when it comes to the interior, like that's when I take it somewhere and let them clean like the exterior and the interior. I don't do the interior all the time. Like I'll take out the mats and I'll like, you know, dust them off or, you know, get all the big grime off of it. But for the most part, I don't get into the interior unless I'm doing the whole car at once. And I always pay somebody to do that. For me, that's kind of one of those things where I feel like I've made it, where somebody's washing my car. So I feel like a big shot. So that's my time when I just get to sit there and feel special. But I don't do it that often because, I don't clean the interior probably as much as I should. Like, I'll dust it, but I don't get into the whole armor all and all that unless I take it somewhere like that. I just don't do it.
I kind of like doing it myself. Maybe that's like a good therapy session for me in a way, because it's like in the 2 hours it takes me to do my car, I either listen to various podcasts or the radio, and I just kind of let my mind relax. Like, I don't have to think hard. I can kind of turn my brain off, and it's just really, really relaxing that way for me. Not the actual car washing part. Like, that, I get kind of tired actually when I'm washing and waxing the car. My arms get tired, but I don't have to think, and it's really, really nice. And then when I'm done, I always reward myself with like a Slurpee at the gas station.
Well, I think the reason that I go and I have somebody do it is because I always feel like they do a better job than me. This is one of those scenarios where I feel like they do a better job than me. I feel like I can never, like, I can't ever put enough elbow grease into it to make it look the way I want to. But you take me to a place where they detail it for you, and there's like a team of people. There's like 4 or 5 guys that knock it out in 20 minutes. And I'm like, those guys do a really good job. They're professionals. I feel like I can't do it the same way they can. I feel like I just can't do it. Like, I've tried it, and I don't feel as satisfied with it as when I have somebody else do it for me. I don't know. I'm like, I put 2 hours of effort into it, and it doesn't look as good as those guys would have done in, you know, 30 minutes.
Maybe I'll have to try it sometime. Maybe I'll bite the bullet and pay someone else to clean my car and see how it goes.
Now, not all of those are alike. Some of those just are kind of janky and they don't really do a good job. You gotta find one in a good part of town. Those are the ones that really like really put, you know, they put some elbow into it. Like, the nicer the part of town, the better the cleaning is. But you're gonna pay a little bit for it, but it is worth it. So that's the one thing I will recommend, is that don't, like, you got to look at the cars around you. If the cars around you are like really, really nice cars, then yeah, they're going to do a really good job. If you're dealing with some hoopties, then they might not do as good of a job.
Do you have to tip then? Is this one of those services that you tip after?
Generally speaking, yeah, it's a good idea to tip. I normally tip like when I park and I get out of the car, I usually give them the tip then. Because that's the rule of tipping. That's a whole other episode, but you're supposed to tip in advance, because that's kind of setting up the expectation of good service. You're technically not supposed to tip afterwards. You're supposed to tip before to ensure that you have good service.
Huh.
Did you know that?
No, because I was a server for, you know, however many years of my life. And tipping is always at the end.
I know that.
But that's the way it is,
but that's not the way I think it was originally started. It was started more like you're giving them something in advance to be like, hey, give me good service. Here is your gratuity for giving me good service, even though you haven't given it to me yet.
Huh.
Now, there's a whole episode on that. We could do that.
Next time.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's a question. In regards to driving your car, and I'm asking this because someone made a comment in regards to how I do it one time. But when you're driving down the road, how do you sit in the car and drive? Because, like, I feel like I sit pretty normal, but I drive by people and I see the classic, you know, cool guy that thinks he's all that with a seat all the way back and he's slouching with a hand on top of the wheel thinking he's, you know, cool as heck with, like, looking like that. And then I've seen people that they must be so short in real life because I feel like they're either sitting in a booster seat or they have the seat like scooted all the way forward and all the way up and the steering wheel is like practically in their lap.
So I used to do the cool thing, like where you lean back and you like you look all cool and you're like one hand on the top of the wheel. I used to do that. And then I got older and I realized how uncomfortable that is for long periods of time. It's not comfortable at all. At all. Now, don't get me wrong. If it's like a nice day and I'm just out by myself and I've got the radio jamming, then maybe I'll change my stance a little bit. But for the most part, I drive like an old man now. I do, like, I've got my seat pretty well propped up. I've got my heated seats on almost all times because I have hip and back problems. And regardless of weather, by the way, it could be 100 degrees outside and I still have the heated seats on. And I usually have my hands not quite at 10 and 2, but I usually have it somewhere in the 10 and 2 range, you know, 9 and 11 or whatever. But, or 9 and 6, not 9 and 11. But like 9 and 11 would be like this. But no, I mean, it's all about comfort for me now as I've gotten older.
Huh. Real quick side note, I don't use heated seats strictly because whenever they're on, I feel like I'm peeing my pants. Anyway, when I drive, I think I keep my seat back. I'm normally sitting up with the seat kind of back so the steering wheel's not in my lap. But I actually really like to drive with my hands at the bottom of the steering wheel. So that would be like, what, 5 and 7?
Yeah. Do you
like,
realize?
Like straddling 6 o'clock. I like to drive like that a lot. Now, that probably sounds really scary, like, because I know what you're going to say, that I don't have a lot of control over the steering wheel, which you don't.
You have zero control over the steering wheel. Not enough control. You have zero control over the steering wheel. That car is controlling you.
True. But if I'm, you know, on a really, really busy road or the highway and there's like cars all around me, or if I'm having to switch lanes or make lots of turns, I don't keep my hands there. It's more so when I'm just going straight or if I'm driving alone at night and there's no one around me, no one near me, and there's no risk to anybody hitting me or me hitting them. I my hands are down there because it's the most comfortable for me.
So when I'm on a long drive, like when we're on a road trip, and especially if it's at night, I am like absolutely at 10 and 2 because I'm not going to lie, I kind of half-ass like pay attention. So I feel like I have to have my hand on the wheel. That way if something were to dart out, like I got a good grasp on what I'm about to do. Because I always feel like I kind of zone out when I'm driving like a long distance. So it's almost like a preventative. It's like keep my hands on the wheel. That way if something were to pop out. But at night, I am a little bit more, like, white-knuckled. Because I am assuming that there's going to be, like, a deer that's going to jump out on me or something.
Yeah, I've been there. I don't like driving at night very often because I'm not a night person. I'm a morning person. So I have a hard time staying up late or just being up all night. So if it's dark out and I'm driving, I immediately feel tired. Even in the winter when it gets dark at like, you know, 6 p.m., I feel tired because, like, you know, it's a seasonal change. It messes with your brain. So I don't like driving at night, which is kind of the reason I hate road trips. I hate being on long car rides. I get antsy and I hate sitting in the car that long. So that's not my thing. I would agree.
I love road trips and I love driving at night because less traffic and you can just kind of get behind somebody and, you know, follow the speed limit. I love it. I love just kind of going, listening to music, getting in my zone. But again, it's like the double-edged sword is that I feel like something's going to pop out at me or I'm going to fall asleep behind the wheel. Like there's a lot of fear. Like I feel like I'm always driving on the edge at night when I do that. you know.
Another thing that I hate, and you alluded to this a little bit, whenever you're driving, whether it's a road trip or whatever, maybe your daily commute to work, and you're driving and your mind starts thinking about something, or maybe you're engrossed in your music or your podcast or, you know, your audiobook, I don't know, but you're thinking, or your mind's off somewhere while you're driving for God knows how long, and all of a sudden you kind of snap back to it, like in the present, and you realize that you're like, you've driven so much, or so much time has gone by, and you're like, how did I get here? Have I been driving this whole time? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't even feel like you've been driving, because you weren't paying attention.
Yeah, it's like, it's almost, well, certain things, especially like commuting home. I don't have a long commute now, but when I used to have a long commute, I would catch myself in that same zone, and then like I would just kind of end up home, and it's like muscle memory. It's like next thing, you know, when I commute, I'm commuting 35, 40 miles. And it's like, you know, you're in the zone when you're driving, when you leave work, and then somewhere in there, you kind of like lull off. And then next thing you know, you're 10 minutes from the house and you're like, what happened in these last 25, 30 minutes? How did I get here? Like, how did I just, I magically like woke up and I'm back at alert and I'm almost home. I used to do that a lot.
Man, I feel like I still do that a lot. Wow. Okay. I'm glad I'm not the only one.
It's really
but
weird.
I've done that all the time.
So I know you don't like stuff in your car, but how are you about eating in the car?
I'm okay now with eating in the car. I've only had my car a few years. I still consider my car kind of new and nice because it doesn't have a lot of miles on it yet. But when I first got it, I was like, no eating, because I got a brand new car, like off the lot, never owned before. No eating in the car. It still smells like new car. Only thing allowed in here is water. That's it. Nowadays, I've had it a few years. I'm okay with eating in the car, but I will say I'm not good at eating and driving.
Okay.
I can't eat and drive at the same time. So like if I get a snack at a gas station, or if I go through a drive-thru and pick something up, I have to wait till I get home or wherever my destination is before I can eat it. Because something, I just start driving and I forget it's there.
Well, so I don't like being sticky. Like, I don't like my hands being sticky. I don't like something like that. So when I get something to eat, especially on a road trip, I try to get something that's not messy, and usually I get it more plain. So if I normally get a burger with like, you know, lettuce and tomatoes and ketchup and all that, I might get something like just a plain burger, because I don't want to deal with like, oh, this thing is, you know, it's coming out of the wrapper. Oh, it's slippery. Mm-hmm. Oh, I get it on my shirt. So then I usually kind of scale it down to what I get. Or I'll get something like chicken nuggets and I might not even dip it. It's just like, I'm just going to eat the nugget. You know, like I really don't want sauce unless I have somebody with me. If I have a passenger, like if my wife's with me and Myrna's like, here, I'll hold the sauce for you and just dip it. That's different. But very rarely do I do it myself. Like, am I going to like drive and dip and eat? I've seen people eat tacos on the freaking highway.
I don't get how they do it. I can barely drink a drink and drive and then like a soda. And they're over here eating tacos or salad or whatever it is.
I've seen people eat cereal in the morning from a bowl. I don't know.
Milk?
Yes, like tacos. I'm baffled by the taco thing, because a hard shell taco breaks and you got junk everywhere. But the bowl of cereal is like a bigger thing. Like, I've literally seen people with a spoon and a bowl and like they're eating and they've got one hand like, I don't even know how they're steering. I guess they're steering with their knees. But it's like, here, I got my bowl in my left hand and my spoon in my right hand. I'm going to eat my cereal. I'm eating my Lucky Charms. I don't get it.
My husband can steer with his knee. So I've seen him eat like a burger. But then he would like steer the car with his knee. He doesn't do it all the time. But I've seen him do it. He can do it. I guess he used to do it a lot before I was in the picture. But I can't do that. I feel like if I eat hardly anything, I'd be too distracted to drive. Like, I don't. Oh, okay. So this brings me to another point. As a woman, I wear makeup, but I do not put makeup on in the car other than like a chapstick. I can put a chapstick on easy, but no, I'm not putting on lipstick. I'm not putting on mascara. I'm not putting on blush. I pass by so many women in the morning putting on mascara in the car while they're driving, not just at stoplights or stop signs.
Which one's
they're doing it everywhere.
Which one's the pencil? The little pencil.
Eyeliner.
Okay,
eyeliner.
I've seen women do that on the highway. Do you know how dangerous that is?
I can barely do eyeliner sitting down in my bathroom. How do they do it in the car?
You have a sharp object that is pressing against your eyelid. Isn't that essentially what you're doing?
Yes, like the water line of your eye.
I know. And you're pressing a sharp object while you're going 60 miles an hour?
Yep.
Like, I don't understand. That whole thing there, I don't understand at all. And you know what I think? I think the car manufacturers got tired of it, and they figured that they should just go with it. Because if you think about it, back in the day, they didn't have a mirror over the driver's side on the visor. Way back in the day, those cars didn't have a mirror. They just had it on the passenger side. And at some point in life, they added it. They added that and the little light to the driver's side mirror. Because they probably figured like, well, hey, we're losing money to some company that created a visor that's got a light on it and a mirror. We might as well just put it on there ourselves. But I remember that growing up that cars didn't have that. In the 80s, they didn't have it on both sides. They just had it on the passenger side. And now they have it on both sides. Like,
well, yeah, I guess women are allowed to drive now, you know.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, that's how much it wasn't the norm back then. It wasn't the norm to put your makeup on while you were driving. And now it's absolutely the norm. You know?
Man, if I woke up too late for work and I didn't have time to put makeup on, I'm just not wearing makeup to work. I'm not trying to impress anyone there. Like, my boss probably wouldn't even notice, you know? Like, no one's going to notice. No one's going to care. Like, they're there for you to work with them and be their partner at your job. They don't really care what your face looks like. At least I don't. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not judging other people at work for what's on their face. Because I know there's going to be a day where I wake up super late, I'm running late to work, and I can't put makeup on. I've been there. All those girls have been there. So no makeup in the car.
Yeah, and that the no makeup in the car thing is also a good rule because that crap doesn't come off. If you get it on your upholstery, that stuff doesn't come off. It comes off human skin pretty easy, but it doesn't come off your seat. You get that stuff.
Yeah, makeup will stain it. Back to the eating part, like if you're eating something and you spill it, oh my gosh, like what a conundrum. My old car I bought had a stain in the back seat. It had leather seats, like tan leather seats. And there was this mysterious stain in the back seat. And I already know some people are probably making wild guesses as to what this stain was. But the previous owner swore to me it was coffee that spilled, and she didn't know it had spilled, and it sat there for a few days and like absorbed into the leather, and it just never came out.
Ew.
I know. And it looked really gross because it was like a brown stain on like a light tan leather seat.
Ew, that's
in the spot where your butt would be. So it's like, what was it really?
Oh, you know what? They had a dog. The dog pooped. And then the poop got dry.
It must have been a wet poop because
it could have been like a dog threw up.
Possibly. I mean, it could have been blood for all I know, Sergio. Who knows? But like everything stains. So just know that going in.
I don't know.
One time I bought an air freshener for my house. And I opened it in the car because I was like, oh, it's cheaper if I buy this one. And I'll just keep it in the car. And it smelled really nice. But then one day it fell off the little holder in the car and it rolled off in the back of the car somewhere. And I was like, oh, I'll get it later. Well, later turned into like 4 years later, Sergio. And I'm not even kidding. And my car still smelled good. But eventually I was like, why does my car still smell nice? I don't have anything in here. And then I remembered 4 years ago about the air freshener I bought. But Sergio, I took my car apart and I couldn't find it. And you want to know where it ended up being?
Where?
You want to know what the big mystery was?
It,
when you go into your car, at least my trunk at the time, I opened up my trunk, and if you pull out like the false bottom, you know, like that's where the spare was.
Yeah.
I took out the spare, and underneath the spare was like some more upholstery, like carpet padding. I lifted up that carpet padding to actually see the bottom metal part of the trunk, and that's where it ended up.
Oh, it was like in the very, very bottom of the car.
For 4 years.
Hey, it smelled good.
Yeah, it worked. I'd be great air freshener, but man, I had no idea where it went. It was a big mystery for a very long time.
Now, here's another one on etiquette. Since we both have animals, how are you with animals in the car?
Oh, man. Typically, I don't prefer animals in the car just because they shed. And I have black upholstery in my car, so any light-colored dog that ever gets in it just immediately leaves traces of it behind. Typically, I don't have a lot of pets in my car. I have two dogs myself. I don't take them out in the car a whole lot for reasons. Just I have nowhere really to take them a lot of the time. But they don't shed. My dogs are hypoallergenic, so I'm kind of okay with them in the car.
So you're not a person that, like, goes cruising with their dog, takes them to the bank to go to the drive-thru and go to Sonic and Starbucks and all that?
No. Okay. If my dog's in the car, it's because I'm specifically taking the dog somewhere, like the vet or maybe the dog park. But other than that, no, the dog's at home.
The animal, I mean, I have four dogs, and they're all hypoallergenic, so I don't have to worry about the shedding. But it's the same thing. Like, I worry about, like, them, like, getting in the places where I'm driving. Like I'm worried. They're little. I'm worried about one of them, like, getting up underneath the pedal or, like, getting on me while I'm driving and, like, me wrecking, you know? Like, you see people that have, like, dogs in their lap and the dog's, like, on the steering wheel or the dog's on the driver's side window, like, sticking its head out. I'm like, dude, that dog could make an erratic move and you're going to wreck. Like, I'm really freaked out about that. I only take them unless there's a specific goal in mind, like the vet or the groomer. And usually I have somebody with me because I'm like, you got to keep them, like, wrangle them in. Make sure they're good, you know?
Oh, yeah. One of my dogs will sit in the seat, but the other one, she likes to basically, like, if she could drive the car, she would. Like,
really?
She wants to be in my lap, not necessarily paws on the wheel, but she wants to be in my lap looking where I'm looking with her head out the window. Like, she does not like the back seat. She doesn't like the passenger seat. She's always trying to get onto me as I'm driving. Very annoying.
Mm-hmm. Okay, before we wrap up, let's hit up one more topic about car etiquette. How are you in regards to being a passenger? Like, when you're the passenger, especially like on a road trip or something, like, do you have, like, certain things that you do that maybe your husband finds annoying?
Let's see here. Yes. So our rule of thumb now is when we're on a long trip and we're splitting driving, whoever is driving is typically the one that gets to control the audio in the car. So because when we would be on trips, I would always want to listen to, like, true crime podcasts or my true crime audiobooks, anything to do with murder, death, kidnappings, all that stuff. And he couldn't take it anymore because that's all I want to listen to. So he's like, okay, when I'm driving, I listen to what I want to listen to. And he was like, if you want to listen to something else, then you put your headphones in. And I was like, fair enough. So now I keep to myself. I put my headphones on. Typically, I try to just take a nap or maybe read a book or something. And then if I'm tired, I'll put my seat back and I try to, like, take a nap. But no, with the headphones on, I'm pretty to myself.
So are you the navigator when you're in the passenger seat?
No, no, you do not. You do not want me to be the navigator anywhere. Okay. I let the GPS do that. It's smarter than me.
Okay. See, no, but I'm just saying, like for us, when we're on a road trip and my wife's like, oh, I want something to eat. Okay, well, find us something to eat. Find me something like between here and, you know, here in the next 20 miles. Find me something. It's like, oh, I want chicken. Okay, then find chicken. Or, oh, I want a burger. Then find a burger. Like, do that. I'm driving. I'm busy. I'm driving.
Oh, I see. No, we don't really, that doesn't happen a whole lot because typically we plan to eat whenever we get to our destination. Mm. So if we need to eat in between, it's typically like getting a snack at the gas station when we stop to refuel. If there's like a sandwich shop or like a fast food place right next door, or right across the street, maybe we'll swing by there. But no, we want to get to where we're going. So we just drive and we try not to make as many stops as we need to.
Yeah, that's how I am. That's not how it is. That's not how it is when you have a family, but that's how I like it. Because I get a lot more distance in when they're asleep. When Myrna and Andrew are awake, it's like, I want to go pee. I'm hungry. I want this. And then especially with Andrew, it's like you, and let me preface it that we load up, we have a snack bag. We call it a snack bag and it's just full of like chips and cookies and jerky and whatever. And we always go to the store beforehand, before we go out of town, so that we have a snack bag. It does not fail. I stop somewhere. Well, Dad, let's go to the bathroom. Okay. And then it turns into like $10 worth of snacks. And, oh, I need a drink. Or, oh, I need this. I'm like, you have that in the car. but then it turns into Myrna wants to go in there. And it's like, oh, well, I want a snack. I want that. Like, son of a. It's like, we have a snack bag. We have $50 worth of snacks. We don't need another snack. But it does not fail. I've gone without a snack bag and I stop and get snacks. I've gone with a snack bag and had to stop and get snacks. You're dang if you do, you're dang if you don't. At least with my family. Like, there's no, you know, there is no, like, that's why I like driving at night, because they're asleep. And sometimes I'll pull over, I'll put in gas, and I'll go into the bathroom real quick, and I'll come out, and I'm ready to go again. And they wake up 30 miles later. Like, did you stop? No. Why didn't you wake us up? I didn't stop. I'm just, the gas filled itself up. Don't worry about it. Just keep driving. You know? I don't know. It's a whole thing. The only pet peeve I really have for my wife when she's the passenger is that she puts her feet on the dash. And I'm like, do not put your feet on the dash. That is so dangerous.
You need to tell, oh my God, you need to like smack her feet or tickle her feet or something. No, she cannot be doing that. That is, oh, I've read stories. They put that shit on TV. Like, No.
Like you can get in a wreck and you can pretty much like sandwich yourself. Like you'll, you know,
your hips will be compacted into your spine.
Yeah. Like you'll be kissing your feet. Like your head will be like and you got to think about an airbag. Like an airbag flies at like 200 miles an hour or whatever. That thing flies out. It's seriously going to like spring your feet into your face. Like you're gonna break your legs and like you said, your hips and your back and everything else. I mean, that's the only downfall, is that you don't know when that's gonna happen. You don't know when that airbag's gonna go off. So I don't let Andrew do it at all. Andrew's a kid and sometimes he gets in the front seat. I'm like, no, but Mom does it. I don't care. Mom's old, she doesn't want to live. Like she's lived her life. I don't care what she does.
She's ready to go. You got some more living to do.
You got your whole life to live. Don't do it.
You're on her life insurance.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's kind of interesting to hear, again, your side, the female side versus the male side of how we do things in regards to the car. And that's not even us getting into car care and all that other stuff. That's just like the basic, like cruising in your car, washing it, and sitting in it.
Everyday stuff.
We could have a whole other episode on car care.
Oh, man.
I
don't want to get into it. Oh, man.
No, I don't want to get into it either, because it literally will be a whole other episode. We should probably like write down notes on what we didn't cover and then do another episode on stuff we didn't cover. So.
Deal. I got homework now.
So we do have a book transitioning a little bit, we do have a book that we picked out for the Law and Disorder Book Club.
Yes, we need to announce our next book for our book club.
So we are doing, it's called Be Useful, Seven Tools for Life by Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I'm so excited. I don't read a lot of self-help books.
So this this thing is a New York Times number one bestseller, and it is you know, written by Arnold about how you realize your true purpose. And you got to understand, this guy here, he is like the epitome of living the American dream. He came from a little town, I think it was a village in Austria, and he came, you know, he had a dream that he wanted to come to America, and he had goals and he had a vision, and he came over here, didn't speak a lick of English. You know, he became an actor. He became one of the highest paid actors, I think, at the time. He became governor of California. So, and you got to understand, he's not born in America. So the highest seat he can be in government is a governor. So he's accomplished mm-hmm. everything that he can do by not being an American born citizen. So this guy here he's had his own ups and downs, you know, personal life. So I'm excited for this book. You know, we've done a few books, but we haven't done anything like this. We haven't done like a self-help book. So I really wanted to push for this one because I thought we could both use it.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a great intro to self-help books, I think, for me. I personally don't read a whole lot of them because when I read them, I feel like all it does is it points out my flaws, but that's just how my brain interprets it because I'm very critical of myself. But I'm excited for this one. We're going to do it together. I might text you if one of the parts makes me feel down, but I'm going to push through and I think it'll be really good for me.
Well, some of the stuff I was reading on the reviews is that he's really good at personalizing this. He's really good at giving like real life examples. Some of these self-help books, you know, they sound like they're from some guru that has never really experienced any kind of like adversity. This guy has experienced adversity, but he's really good about giving examples as he's going through the book. That was one of the big reviews I got out of it. That's what made me want to read it. Is it's not just some guy on a, like, you know, on a pedestal looking down on you, telling you, this is what you need to do to be good like me. Be perfect, you know? He's like actually telling you like, well, these are things that I did that I screwed up on, and this is what I learned from, and this is how it helped me. So I'm excited to give it a try.
Me too. I'm going to go buy it here soon and get going.
So that will be coming up very shortly in the Law and Disorderly Book Club. So I think that's going to wrap us up, right?
Yeah. I think we should cut the talk on car talk because, again, we could keep going. But I liked what we talked about. We had some good perspectives.
It was a good topic. Good entertaining topic.
Yes.
So I think that's going to wrap up episode 110. 110. Episode 110. Let's kick a shout out to the sponsors. Let's thank Wayspace Audio for the awesome, awesome music. And Young Ideas Dish for all of your Dish Network and Google product needs.
Okay.
So on behalf of them and us, I'm Sergio.
I'm Kate.
And we're Law and Disorder. We'll holler at you guys next time.
Bye.
Laters.